This morning I want to actually think about Paul's ministry. I've actually entitled the sermon, A Compelling Example for Ministry. And I think what 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 teaches us more than anything else, what it actually means to be a disciple and a follower of Christ, that we need to live Christ-like lives and to reflect Jesus in everything we do. And the challenge for us is, what is our calling as believers? I just want to start with this. It was a memorandum sent to Jesus, the son of Joseph, woodcrafter, carpenter shop in Nazareth, from the Jordan Management Consultants, Jerusalem. Dear sir, thank you for submitting the resumes of the 12 men you have picked for your organization. All of them have taken the battery of tests. We have not only run the results through our computer, but arranged personal interviews for each of them with our psychologist and vocational aptitude consultant. It is our staff opinion that most of your nominees are lacking in background, education, and vocational aptitude for the type of enterprise you are undertaking. They do not have the team concept. We would recommend that you continue your search for persons of proven ability. Simon Peter is emotionally unstable and given to fits of temper. Andrew has absolutely no qualities of leadership. The two brothers, James and John, place personal interests above company loyalty. Thomas demonstrates a questioning attitude that would tend to undermine morale. We feel it's our duty to tell you that Matthew has been blacklisted by the Greater Jerusalem Better Business Bureau. James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus definitely have radical leanings. They both register a high score on the manic depressive scale. However, one of your candidates shows great potential. He is a man of ability, resourcefulness. He is highly motivated and he meets people well. We recommend Judas Iscariot as your controller and your right-hand man. As we come together as God's people, God takes people like us and by his Spirit changes us and transforms us and renews us. Firstly, from the passage, I want to pick up a model ministry. They were faithful stewards. A model ministry. They were faithful stewards. And if you care to look at your Bibles, if you've got a Bible with you. So it's 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And I want to pick up firstly, verse 1 and 2. You know, brothers, that our visit to you was not a failure. We previously suffered and had been insulted in Philippi, as you know. But with the help of our God, we dare to tell you about his gospel in spite of strong opposition. Really, in verses 1 and 2, Paul is actually talking about their ministry with the church at Thessalonica, those 3 to 4 weeks that they stayed there. And he really speaks about himself as a steward. And we know from the scripture that a steward owes nothing but possesses everything that belongs to his master. Do you remember Joseph in the Old Testament? Joseph was a steward in the household of Potiphar. He managed his master's affairs and used his master's goods to promote his master's welfare. And Paul actually speaks about this mission team. They were courageous stewards. They came to minister in the name of Jesus, and they faced difficulty and opposition. They were courageous stewards. And what Paul is actually saying, that they were persistent under great pressure. And he mentions here, in these two verses really, our coming to you were not in vain. And Paul is conscious of God's power and God's grace. As here, as in chapter 1 and verse 9, he actually uses a word that speaks about an entrance. It means entering a place. Because he saw all life through the perspective of God's grace. The one who directs, the one who leads, the one who guides. And that we come to a great and the mighty God. See, Paul saw the door as an opportunity to minister God's word. We have a mighty and a living God who leads, who actually directs us. And we also notice from the first two verses, in verse 2, where Paul actually speaks about their coming was not in vain. And that just actually means without effect or profit. And really, he uses a word picture here of an empty jar. Sending someone away empty-handed. And Paul is actually seeing the fact that their ministry in Thessalonica had that tremendous effect because the people there turned serving false gods to the living God. And we too come to a living God who can do immeasurably more than we can think or imagine. A God that can move in any situation. Where there is darkness, he can bring light. Where there is problems, we can know the shalom peace of God. Paul mentions here in verse 2, he states that they've been suffered and mistreated in Philippi. It's no guarantees in the Christian life. Sometimes things happen to us which are so hard and difficult. But it's interesting to note here, they've been mistreated in Philippi. And the church at Thessalonica knew too well about the suffering that this ministry team had to endure just before arriving at Thessalonica. In Philippi, in chapter 16, they were stripped and beaten with rods, cast into the inner recesses of a dark prison. Not only did they endure suffering, but the officials dished out punishments in a shameful way. And Paul speaks about their being exalted. But as they come to Thessalonica, the pure gold of Thessalonica, the situation changes. Lives are changed and transformed. And they knew the presence and the provision of the living God. See, the words here, when Paul speaks about opposition, is which we get the word agony. It's a word used various times about athlete contests. It suggests that intense effort and strenuous exertion in the face of hostility and conflict. And it reminds us, in our discipleship, being God's church, there sometimes can be challenging times. And sometimes it's a call for hard work. But it's not dependent upon our own wisdom or our own education or our own abilities. It's dependent upon the living God. We have a Lord who reigns in power. We have a Lord who intercedes for his church. So what do we do when we face discouraging times? When we face opposition? Refuse to be intimidated. Rely on prayer. Rest in the security of our Lord Jesus. Secondly, I want to pick up from the passage a model ministry that they served as a loving mother. A model ministry they served as a loving mother. And if you've got your Bible with you, verses 7 and 8. Tremendous words. I'll pick it up from the second part of verse 6. As the apostles of Christ, we could have been a burden to you, but we were gentle among you, like a mother caring for her children. We loved you so much that we delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you've become very dear to us. And I want you to notice that phrase in verse 7, which I find very moving, very challenging, with the gentleness of a nursing mother. And the word gentle here means infant. And the mission team here, it's really saying they became caring and understanding and compassionate. They became infants among the Thessalonians believer. They were more concerned about these believers than their status or their position. They weren't asserting their rights. Note the maternal affection in verse 7 comes from the very heart of Paul. Far from seeking financial gain, material help from these believers, their hope and their confidence was in the gospel of the Lord and Saviour. What Paul is saying, they came as God's servants in the gentleness of Christ, seeking to minister God's message. It can also be translated to mean warm like birds covering her young and her feathers. And it speaks to us what it actually means to be a church, to weep with those that weep, to rejoice with those that rejoice, to stand with people in the good times and the bad times. And sometimes that might involve being risk takers. Just let me illustrate it. Years ago, a young mother was making her way across the hills of South Wales. I thought I had to get this one then, moving from England to Wales, all right? Carrying her baby in her arms, she was overtaken by a blizzard. She never reached her destination. And when the blizzard had subsided, her body was found beneath a mound of snow. Then they discovered that just before she died, she must have taken off all her outer clothing and wrapped it around the baby. When they unwrapped the child, to the surprise and to the joy, they found that this baby boy was still alive. She had given her life for her child, proving the depths of a mother's love. Years later, this child, David Lloyd George, became Prime Minister of Great Britain. We reminded 2,000 years ago, a father gave up his son for us, to redeem us and to rescue us. A model ministry, they served as a loving mother. But in verse 8, it speaks about they shared the gospel and their lives also. And what I will say, we can be theologically correct. We can believe the Bible as God's word. But the challenge more than anything else, not only do we need to share the gospel, we need to share our lives also too. See, when Paul speaks about having fond affection for these believers at Thessalonica, he had that concern and that passion and that enthusiasm to share the gospel, but to share their lives also. And the word affection here is only used here in the New Testament. But however, in Greek literature, this was a strong term relating to parents longing for children who had passed away. And the challenge more than anything else, as we live our lives out as God's people, we need to have that heart of grace, that heart of compassion, that heart of tenderness for others. See, simply this, it takes the gospel plus us for people to listen to God's message. That's why it's so important when we share our story, our testimony. Years ago, running Alpha courses, when dealing with people that wouldn't normally come to the church, it's no good saying, the Bible says this. Yes, we believe in the Bible. But people actually listen to our stories, what God has done in our lives. Thirdly and finally, I want to pick up a model ministry. They were concerned fathers. We see this in verses 9 to 12. And I want to pick up, firstly, verse 9. And it says this. Surely you remember, brothers, our toil and hardship. We work night and day in order not to be a burden to anyone while we preach the gospel to you. See, here, Paul points in verses 9 to 12, three duties of a spiritual father to the church. And here in verse 9, he mentions the effort of their ministry. And he speaks about the hardship the toil, working night and day in order not to be a burden to anyone while we preach the gospel to you. See, to understand the context, Paul is actually writing about a year after the church had been planted at Thessalonica. And nobody knew better the sacrifices that the ministry team gave to themselves, or as J.B. Phillips actually translates it, these words, our struggles and our hard work. So Paul reminds them of this fact, the general principle that a father works to support his family. And though the church at Philippi had sent financial help, Paul was a tent maker and worked hard to pay for his own needs. What Paul is saying, we worked hard. We were committed to our ministry, to the gospel, willing to sacrifice anything for you so that you could come to the personal faith in Christ, that you can grow in your faith. A model ministry that's as concerned fathers, he actually goes on and to speak of his excellency, of their character. Look with me at verse 10. You are witnesses, and so is God, and how holy and righteous and blameless we were among you who believed. And Paul actually uses the word holy here, really describing one's duty or Godward aspect of behaviour. It refers really to one's commitment to the Lord in prayer, in studying the word, to worship and loving the Lord. And what Paul is actually saying, that these believers and the challenge for us to live holy lives, lives that reflect our Lord Jesus and our high calling as believers, isn't the ministries that we do. It's for our lives to be changed and transformed into the likeness of Jesus Christ. To grow in grace, to have the stamp of God on it. And they lived in such a way that impacted their local community. And God wants a people committed, devoted, on fire for him. Speaks about that model ministry of a concerned father, and it goes on the exhortation of their lips, which we see in verses 11 and 12. Let's pick up verses 11 and 12. For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with our own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into the kingdom of his glory. And I want you really to notice the word encouragement in verse 12. It means literally to be called to one side. And Paul challenges these believers to grow in grace, to be mature. But he speaks about that encourage them is to call someone to courage. And the word comfort in verse 11 literally means to speak soothingly. And as we make this new journey together, as pastor or minister and congregation, as believers, we need to be God's church that would stand together to urge, to encourage, to build up, to go on with the living God, to make more discoveries about Jesus. And sometimes that means moving out of our comfort zone. That means to be risk takers. That means to actually move forward. Just let me illustrate it. Martin Luther King Jr. was actually lecturing at a theological college. And someone asked him about his call to ministry. And Martin Luther King said this: "Actually, the reason I went to theological college was to please my dad, because my dad was a pastor, and he went to Morehouse College. He was a brilliant student, and he was actually thinking about in the future becoming president of the college. That was his aspiration. But biding his time, he was called to serve a rather forlorn little church in Montgomery, Alabama. And shortly after arriving in this town, an African-American woman was ordered off a city bus because she had violated the city laws for racial segregation. At a meeting which was held in one of the black churches, the crowd was confused, angry, disheartened. No one knew what to do. Someone thought it was good to ask the new preacher in the town to say a few words. Martin Luther King rose and started to speak very hesitantly. Then the Holy Spirit descended. And someone said, "We gathered as a confused crowd. We left as a movement." In our service for God, we face many challenging situations, maybe problems or setbacks. And the evil one will do the best thing to discourage God's people as they seek to serve him. And Paul challenges the church. And he can challenge us today. Despite what happens, despite what we face, our hope and our confidence is in the reigning Lord Jesus, who reigns in power and in authority. And Paul is challenging the church at Thessalonica, and we can take it as a personal challenge, what it means to be God's community, what it means to be salt and light, to make that difference for our Lord Jesus. We need to keep our eyes on the Lord, our focus, as we actually respond to him. He is the God of all grace. He is the God of all power, who can move mightily by his Spirit. If we are serious, having a lasting impact on others, no matter where God has placed us, we must develop that deep abiding in the security, keeping our eyes on Jesus. Amen.